Wednesday night, thanks for tuning in. As always, we miss you guys. Hope to be able to see you all in person soon. Welcome to week 4, I believe, of our Theology of Repentance series that we've been in the last few weeks. In summary, repentance is it's the rooting out of something damaging in order to plant something good. Repentance is not just about ceasing to do something bad, but it's actually replacing what was once bad in our lives with something good. It's repentance is replacing, right? Last summer, Josie and I had a mole problem in our backyard. We had this beautiful little patch of green grass, really nice grass. I don't know a lot about grass, but it was nice to look at. And we had a mole problem. We had a couple moles that were just digging holes up in our yard. And pretty soon our backyard, our grass was just this war zone where it looked like there were little patches of grass and then there were holes that the moles had made. And we figured out the mole problem mostly because our cat Bowie is a madman and he caught one of the moles. And shout out to Daryl Farah. He gave me the tip that if you bury a dead mole in your yard, it'll scare all the other moles away. So in a couple of weeks, we figured out our mole problem. We didn't have any moles. We haven't had any moles since. But the problem is this summer, you see all the patches of grass that the moles came out of, there's just dirt there. We didn't do anything to actually plant new grass. So now this summer, our yard, our grass is just a mess. There's all these weeds growing where the mole hills were. Our grass is now infested with weeds. It's actually worse off than before, right? And that's essentially this idea of repentance when there's something bad and you get rid of it, but you don't replace it with something good, it actually becomes worse and worse and worse for you. So repentance has to be, again, I know I've said this time and time again, repentance has to be not just removing something bad, but it has to be introducing something good where the bad once was. So today we're going to zoom in on one sin that has been plaguing the human race since the very beginning of time. And it's pride. And the counterpart to pride is humility. That's what Christ calls us to. But before we start, I love what C.S. Lewis says about pride and humility. He says this: "For just as pride is the root of all sin," that's a huge statement. Pride is the root of all sin. "So humility is the root, mother, nurse, foundation, and bond of all virtue." And so, because I'm desperately trying to keep these messages short, and I know I say time and time again, I'm trying to keep them short and then I go long. There's only 3 quick points that we're going to talk about in regards to pride today. So let's get started. So point number 1 is this. It's that pride actually limits your ministry to others. I love what Philippians 2 says. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." And then in Romans 12, it says this: "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a low position. Do not be conceited." And these are just 2 verses of countless verses throughout the Bible that show us that pride and caring for others simply will always be at odds with each other. The two don't work together, right? If you want to truly care for someone, as Christ calls us to as Christians, if you want to truly care for someone, pride in your life must decrease, because pride and care and empathy and compassion for someone else, those things can't coexist. Every Monday night for probably the last 3 or 4 years, Josie and I go over to our friends, Drew and Jody's house. You guys probably know Drew because I make fun of him all the time. He's the big bald guy. And we go over to their house with our friend Matt and we eat tacos and we normally watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette, whatever. We do this every Monday night. And Drew does a lot of weird things that are easy to make fun of him for. But something he does every Monday night is the time comes where the tacos are ready and everyone's supposed to go dish up. And Drew Drew just always gets really weird around this time. I don't know how else to explain it. We're like, Drew, why don't you go? You had a set. He's like, no. He'll be like sitting on the couch, but Drew doesn't just like sit. He always just kind of like lurks in the background. We're like, dude, you can cut in front of us. You can get food. He's like, no. So we always make fun of Drew because he's so weird about like when he goes to get food. And every week he's always the last one to get food. And by the time he actually goes to get his food, we're all like done with our food and we're teasing him. We're like, dude, do you not want to eat with us? Like, what's the deal? And sometimes we notice he'll come over and I'll have just like one tiny taco with like a tiny bit of meat. We're like, Drew, now you're going to worry about eating too much. Like, we just always tease him. He's always being weird. He's always lurking. But what I realized about Drew is that anytime he has guests over, he always waits to eat food because he wants his guests to have as much food as they want before he helps himself to the food. What he was doing was actually a great act of humility, and we were relentlessly teasing him for it. But I bring up Drew in all his weirdness and his humility. Sometimes when you serve others first, there's actually a little bit less for you. See, pride convinces you that if you don't take care of yourself first, there won't be enough for you. But humility says, you know, that's not really the point. Humility recognizes that, man, my purpose is to serve others first and make sure that others are nourished first. And I understand that because of that, I might have a little bit less for me. That's the essence of humility. That's the essence of what it means to be a servant. Humility causes you always to care for others first because we serve a God who gives abundantly to all who follow him. So here's a few questions to ask yourself in regards to if your ministry to others is limited through pride. Do you listen to others when they talk to you? If you're more concerned about being heard than in actually hearing and listening to others, your ability to minister to that person is limited. Think about how you enter into a conversation. Do you have a desire to know the other person, or do you have a desire to be known by the other person? Do you follow up with others and initiate conversations with them and check in on them and see how they're doing? Or are you someone who just assumes that other people will do that to you and you're off the hook? This is a really hard one for me. Are you easily offended, or do you hold a grudge easily? Have you ever heard the expression like someone's pride being hurt or your pride being hurt, or like, man, this thing happened and my pride got hurt? It's usually in reference to having your feelings being hurt, right? Or maybe being embarrassed in front of a group of people. I think this phrase is so spot on because the less pride there is in your life, the less likely you are to hold a grudge, the less likely you are to be offended. And offense usually occurs when there's a lack of understanding between two parties, right? So if you're working to understand and listen to the other person, you not only know how to minister to them, but you'll be shielded from being easily offended. I know they didn't mean what they said when they said it that way, right? Like when you're actually working to understand the other person, you're shielded from holding a grudge, from being offended. And the more pride you have in your life, the bigger target your pride is to be hurt by someone. So simply to conclude that point, the less pride you have in your life, the easier it is to minister to others. Point number two is this. It's that pride actually limits God's ministry to you. James 4 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Proverbs 29 says, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit will gain honor. How can you tell if God's ministry to you is being limited? A couple things to ask yourself might be, does the Bible seem dull to you? Does your leader or your pastor's advice seem stupid to you? Does prayer only exist in your life if you're praying for something that you want? The biggest one is probably this. If you don't desire to grow, but you only desire to be elevated. What I mean by that is this. Let's think about this. Think about like the biggest trees in a forest. Think about maybe like the redwoods down in California. These super old trees that are super, super tall that have been growing for a really long time. Where does every tree, big or small, have to begin in order to grow big? Every tree has to start in the dirt, right? Think about Jesus and his ministry on earth. What does it say about him? It says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, right? See, when we fail to get rid of pride in our lives and follow Jesus instead of our own patterns of living, we think that the way of Jesus isn't good because it seems like he's always putting us back in the dirt, right? When we have this mindset of like, man, I want to be elevated. I want to be known for the good that I do. I want to receive this and that. And we start going down that path. And when we seek Jesus, we realize that what he actually does is he puts us back in the dirt, right? He puts us in positions of humility, positions in which we have to serve other people. Things like apologizing when you do something wrong, things like confessing sin when it's hard, things like giving something of yours away even when it hurts, listening to someone else instead of worrying about being heard. These are all things that humble us, right? These are all things that are really hard. These are things that we would say, man, this is us being in the dirt, the humbling ourselves, right? But think about trees again. The most important growth in a tree's lifespan is the time as a little tiny stick in the dirt. Why is this so important? It's because it's constantly forming roots, right? A network of support that no one else sees. This time of growth as a tiny twig, compared to a huge redwood, it looks like nothing. But what a tree's doing during this time is it's building roots down, deep to keep it anchored and wide to keep it steady as it grows tall. A tree cannot survive without roots that are deep in the soil. And in the same way, a faith, a Christian life without humility will die. It will topple over. You see, the truly humble person will always value time in the dirt because they know that even though no one else sees it, even though they're not getting recognition, they're growing in ways that God wants to grow them. In ways that no one will be able to see immediately, but growing nonetheless. I think it's easy for us to think of following Jesus as a waste of time when we feel like we're not being elevated, right? But again, to reference James 4, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And the final point is this. The Bible tells us time and time again that the proud will be humbled. The more pride you have, the greater chance you have of being humbled. Isaiah 2 says, the Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. Proverbs 11 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And Proverbs 16 says, pride goes before destruction. You see, the whole foundation of the gospel is that Jesus did for us what we'll never be able to do on our own. So I'd ask you this, are you worried about being worthy of love? Jesus Christ died to make you worthy. Are you worried about doing enough to gain God's favor, to earn forgiveness, to earn grace? Jesus already did that on the cross. Are you worried about having an important story? You see, through Christ, you're actually a crucial part of his story, which is the greatest story in existence. Pride is dangerous to our faith because the more we try to gain favor on our own and prove that we're important and worthy, then the further we get away from the work that Christ did on the cross. You see, humility matters because only when we strip away everything else do we truly understand that Jesus is all we have. See, we talked a lot the last few weeks about living for the eternal kingdom of Christ instead of living for the kingdom of the world that changes all the time and will eventually fade away. Pride ultimately displays an attachment to this world, and humility displays a desire to live for the kingdom of God. So here's what we're going to do. In conclusion, here's a few really practical steps. Number one is a difficult one. It's ask God to reveal pride in your life. Through prayer, humbly lower yourself before God and ask him, man, God, where are there parts of my life where I'm filled with pride? Where are there parts of my life where I'm not allowing you in because I'm putting myself first? Where are there parts of my lives where I'm unable to minister to others because I'm putting myself first? Is it pride in regards to thinking of yourself before others? Is it thinking too much of yourself? Is it not being a teachable person? And then ask him this, ask him to reveal to you what true humility looks like. Maybe pick a gospel and spend some time reading it and poring over not just what Jesus says, but what he does. How is he positioning himself in front of others? I think you'll find that Jesus is always one who takes a posture of humility, right? He's always literally getting down and ministering to others. He's getting dirty. He's washing others' feet. He's touching and ministering to those that other people wouldn't. Think about people in your life who care about you, right? Who make you feel worthy, who make you feel loved. Those are probably humble people, because truly caring for someone else doesn't happen without having a heart of humility. So think about those people in your life who care for you. And then the last one is simply practice true humility. It takes a really long time. It's a muscle that has to be exercised, but start with conversations you have with other people, right? Am I entering this conversation as someone who has a desire to know the other person, or am I entering this conversation with a desire to be known, right? With my accomplishments known, with my worth being known by this other person. Think about the last time you truly cared for someone else. Think about following up with someone else. Who in your life, even a teacher that impacted you, a leader that impacted you, what does it cost you to actually write that person a letter and let them know how much they mean to you, right? What does follow-up look like with your friends? You see, a truly humble person, because they're not worried about gaining recognition or proving their worthiness. A truly humble person is someone who's always thinking about others, someone who's always thinking about how to care for other people. So let's, as a Wednesday night community, as a community of young people following Jesus, let's take small steps, even tomorrow when you hear this message. What are small things you can do to prove your humility to Jesus Christ? Friends, the way of humility isn't necessarily always fun or always rewarding, but the means through which we draw near to Christ. That's what humility really is. So friends, thanks for tuning in. Hope to see you all soon. Let's practice the way of humility together and change our communities and our families for the good of Jesus Christ. See you guys soon.